14. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. The Bible said, then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah. Somebody say Judah. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Yes. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerusalem. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah. Say Judah. And Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Praise God. We're going to do a lot of reading tonight. We're going to slow down just a little bit. But I want you to very, very much take notice of the word Judah and the way it is used in these scriptures. But if you go back to 2 Chronicles 20 and 15 with me, towards the very, very latter part of the verse, and then at the very beginning of verse 17, I'm going to pick out two phrases, and this is what I'm going to preach from. It said, for the battle is not yours. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. For the battle is not yours. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. The Lord would be my helper. I want to preach to somebody tonight that you are in the battle.
Yes.
But this is not your fight.
That's right.
You are in the battle, but this is not your fight. Oh, praise God. You're in the battle. You know you are. I know you are. We see the heat of the battle. We feel the heat of the battle. You barely get up in the morning and you haven't even got dressed yet. You haven't even got ready for work yet. You haven't even made your husband's breakfast yet. And you already realize, I'm still in the battle. You hear the clanging of the swords right to one side of you, and you hear the swoosh of an arrow just to the other side of you, and you realize, I am definitely in the battle.
Yes.
I've got children that are lost and on drugs. I am in the battle. I have a spouse that left me and he will not come back. I am in the battle. You may have a home that is so miserable that you look for ways to stay in town as long as you can, letting you know you are in the battle. The bills are due, but the boss says he's cutting your hours again. You are in the battle.
Yes.
You have mental strain, physical and emotional problems. These things let you know every day you are in the battle. But you've got to go beyond just the understanding of being in the battle. You also have to understand whose battle you're in, whose fight you're in, just exactly which sides are at odds here. Yes. And we must come to the conclusion tonight that God sent me to tell somebody you are in the battle.
Yes.
But this is not your fight.
Not your fight.
As we begin to look through the chapter, beginning at verse 1, I want to point out several things in this chapter. It said, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with their others besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle.
Yes.
Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, there be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Let me stop for just a minute. It called this place in Gedi. I was actually in Gedi about 6 months ago. And the reason it's very important to note that this is in Gedi is because when we stood on the side of the banks there, the area that is called in Gedi, it's a wildlife preserve right now. It's just inside the borders of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. And when you're in Engedi, you're at the end of the mountain range in the beginning of the mouth of a valley.
Yeah.
That particular valley starts at Engedi and it's wide open, perfect trail. It's almost like a nature road, just a highway created by nature that goes from Engedi to downtown Jerusalem. All of Israel is just mountainous and rough terrain and rocks and sandstones and all these horrible places. And it's hard to get around in Jerusalem. But there's one place in, in Israel, but there's one place in Israel that it's not difficult to get around. And that's between En Gedi to Jerusalem. These people of God are encamped at Jerusalem. And he just found out the enemy is in En Gedi. The enemy, I have just been told, is in a place where he has free access to march right up here and destroy me. There's nothing to stop him.
Right.
Jehoshaphat, then, being feared for that reason, set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. This is an amazing chapter. I want you to notice how many times it mentions Judah. And you may think you understand why, and I'll show you something. He begins to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah.
Yes.
Not all of Israel. Not even all Jerusalem. He proclaims a fast. Everybody that is going to initially do something for this cause of ours starts in Judah.
Yes.
Very next verse it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah. That's five times it said Judah in 1.5 verses. Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now watch this. Three more times in this chapter, I believe it will say Judah and Jerusalem.
Yes.
You think, well, it says that all the time because it's a divided territory. There's two separate countries, but one king's trying to be over both countries. No, you miss something if you're not careful. When it talks about the two kingdoms in the Old Testament, it calls them Judah and Israel.
Yes.
Judah and Israel, those are the two kingdoms. Jerusalem's not a kingdom. But all of a sudden, for this one chapter, he starts talking about not Judah and Israel, he starts talking about Judah and Jerusalem. Jerusalem is under attack. But he purposely, continually throws Judah in there, keep putting Judah first, keep putting Judah's name out there, and there's a very good reason why. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heaven, and in thy hand, and there not power and might? Is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, watch this very carefully, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. Uh-oh. He just threw something up at God. He said, God, protect us. God, help us. God, we're your people. God, we built you a house. God, we came to church. God, we're praying to you. And there's people are coming. And by the way, God, these aren't people that we destroyed. These aren't people from other places that we didn't know about. These are the people that we asked you when we came here. God, let us destroy them. And you said, we can't destroy them. God, you did this. This time, in this prayer, when they said, God, you did this, it was an accusation. Has anybody ever prayed and felt so desperate you tried to turn the tables on God? It don't work very good. But y'all know we've done it. God, I prayed. God, I did this. God, I gave that money. God, I drove way up there. God, I did what you told me, God. I thought it would turn out different. I thought you were working with me. God, come on, God. And they're trying to turn the table on God. He said, God, these are people you would not let us invade. When they came out of the... How many of you just could agree right now in faith that when God does something, he knows what he's doing?
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. I know this is slow, but I'm going somewhere tonight. When they came out of the land of Egypt and they turned from them to destroy them, God, you said we couldn't. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us through for an inheritance. Those that we left alone, those are the ones that are attacking us now. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee and all Judah. ones, their wives and their children. And then it goes into all the part that we already read. And let me jump over to verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Somebody say worshiping.
Yes, worshiping.
Amen. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. We got worship. We got praise. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. This is a strange battle.
Yes.
They went out to battle, and for some reason they didn't bring their swords. They didn't bring their spears. Nobody had any armor. They brought their songbooks. They brought their harps to play and their horns to blow on. He consulted with him and he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And the way we began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten.
Yes.
What is going on here is these people are in the battle, but it's not their fight.
That's right.
And when God finally got that point across to them, they still didn't fully understand. They were making all. They said, "God, these are people that you had let us kill, and now they're going to kill us, and we don't understand." And God's trying to get somebody to understand. I know you're in the battle. I see you in the battle. You three Hebrew boys, I see you in the fire. You Daniel right there sleeping beside the light. I see that. I know what's going on. You rebellious prophet in the belly of the fish. I know where you're at. I'm the one that sent the fish. Don't try to tell me what's going on. I'm God. If I didn't know, you wouldn't be praying to me. I know you're in the battle, but it's not your fight. God wants somebody to understand for just a minute. See, what happened is the king had an understanding as he prayed, and he put Judah up and Judah up and Judah up and Judah up. And the reason he put Judah up is because we find out that the name Judah means praise on high. What he was trying to tell somebody is, even in the battle, send praise first. Even in the battle, remember to praise God. Even in the battle, send some worship up. Don't forget to let God know how big he is, how good he is, how much you love him. But you don't understand, I'm going through a trial. Praise God, somebody. You don't understand, I'm in the midst of trouble. Somebody, let God know that in sunshine and rain, we still believe he's on the throne. In good times and bad, we still think he's worthy to be praised. Glory! Woo! They began this battle worshiping. They began this battle praising. They began this battle pushing Judah forward, putting praise first. Hallelujah. He said, "I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but I know that the enemy is strong, and I know it looks like trouble, but I know one thing for sure. You cannot go wrong praising God. You cannot go wrong giving God the glory." He said, "We're going to go in there and we're going to sing. They may kill us today, but I'm going to eternity with a praise on my lips for my almighty God. When I get over yonder and see my master on his great white throne, the last thing I will have done on this side of eternity is praise God for the beauty of his holiness." Oh, glory. Hallelujah. He said, "We're going to go in there. We're going to go in there singing. We're going to go in there singing." Then praise for the beauty of his holiness. They went out before the army singing, "His mercy endureth forever." Glory. How many of you ever have the faith, the gall, the guts, the grit to walk into your most heated battle and with nothing on your mind and nothing on your heart? But God, however this comes out,
you to get the glory for it. God, if I get this church or they send me packing, I want you to get the glory for it. Hey, God, if this works out for my family's financial benefit, or if I have to eat bologna for 6 months, I want you to get the glory for it. God, if the cancer miraculously disappears overnight, or if they have to do surgery and all my hair falls out, I want you to get the glory for it.
Oh, hallelujah. They began to sing. And something happened, Brother Philip, while they were singing. It got so confusing. Oh, praise God. It got so confusing that the enemy started sticking each other. Oh, praise God. You know, that's what the enemy likes when the church does. When we start sticking each other. But you know, the tables can be turned. And we can just be right here in the church praising God. Well, they're out there sticking each other. And when we leave the church house, all the problems that we had when we came in before we took some time to give God praise, we can find out that that all fell apart and everything's going to be all right anyway. Amen. I don't know why y'all just sitting there looking at me like, yeah, but that's all right. Praise God. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And then when made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another.
Yes.
And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness and looked, the multitude, behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. How many of you ever finally got it through your thick head? Then I'm just going to have to trust Jesus.
Yes.
I'm just going to have to believe God. I'm just going to pray this thing through, put it in God's hands. I'm going to go off just skipping and singing wonderful songs of Zion and enjoy the fact that I'm saved. And the next thing you know, it all got worked out as good as you wanted it to, but better, and you never lifted a finger. That's because you were in the battle, but it wasn't your fight. Amen. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them the inhabitants both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering the spoil so much. We jumped that verse so many times. Wait a minute. How many people do you know that would come to battle with all of their riches and jewels in their pockets? How many times do you ever think that happened in history? Some general looks, say, "Sergeant, get the boys ready for battle this morning. Make sure the guns are well greased. Make sure they got plenty of bullets. Make sure their canteens are full and their boots are strapped on tight. We're going to battle. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ruthless. They may die today, but we're going to a battle that could last for days and days. They'll be killing and they'll be fighting. And we need every medic. We need all the medicine. We need all the bullets. And make sure they got all their money in their pockets."
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? How many times do you think that's happened? I'm telling you. It's happened in my life. I was in a battle. And there was no way I could win. But before it was over, Sister Laura Lee, I realized, yes, I'm in the battle, but it's not my fight.
Yes.
Because while I was praying, while I was crying, while I was praising, while I was worshiping, while I was trying, God came in and God fixed it all. And when it was over, I was far better off than I ever thought I would have been. Because God set that up.
Yes.
Amen. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go against Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord hath made them to rejoice over their enemies. How many needs to rejoice over their enemies? And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. They're coming back from... Can you see this picture? Am I painting it for you at all?
Yes.
They're coming back from a battle where they just fought an army. that lots and lots of people were just killed in this battle, and when they show up, they don't have a spear, they don't have a sword, they don't have a shield. They come back from battle with a guitar. Glory. They come back from battle with a harp. The ladies are coming back to, and they got tambourines. They come back from battle with the horns. And people say, what in the world have you been doing? We've been in a battle. They did not say we've been fighting. See, what you would expect them to say is when they say, what have you been doing? We've been fighting a battle. No, we have not been fighting a battle. We've been in a battle. Because if we were fighting a battle, we have to have something worthy to fight with. You and I, my friend, by ourselves cannot fight the devil. You and I by ourselves have no strength and no power over the pits of hell and the forces of the enemy. When we come back from the battle, we were in the battle, but we did not fight the battle. If you ever faced the devil and came out on the high side, you did not fight the battle. You were in the battle, but it wasn't your fight.
Hallelujah.
God, help me, God. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of those countries when they that heard the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. The emphasis over and over and over again was on Judah. Because Judah meant a high praise. Judah meant worship. This is a battle of praise. Yo, you think I done lost my mind here for a minute, but you listen to me. A lot of our battles are a battle of praise. It's a battle of who's going to get the glory. It's a battle of who's going to get the credit. And you might think this is crazy tonight, but a lot of our battles are predestined and predetermined by God from the foundation of the world just to see who gets the glory. Just to see who gets the praise. There are many, many times we're in a battle of praise and the battle seems to go on and on and on and on. And the reason the battle lingers sometimes is because it's a battle of praise and we have yet to praise God. We have yet to thank God. We've yet to glorify God. You see, Joshua, he came in and he had conquered 31 kings. But when Joshua died, there was still a lot more kings than 31 left to be conquered. I want somebody to understand something tonight. Sister Helen might have won a lot of battles. Brother Philip might have won a lot of battles. Sister Brother Luther, when he was here, he had won a lot of battles. And some of us, all we've had to do was come in and join the camp of victory for all of these battles that had already been won. But when Sister Helen is done fighting, when Brother Philip is done fighting, when now that Brother Luther is done going from fighting, now there are still going to be some battles left over for you and me to be in ourselves. And God was showing us something in the book of Judges here. When the Israelites were preparing to fight some of these other kings, and they asked God, who should we send up first? Some might have said, well, we need to send up Reuben, because Reuben's the firstborn. And God said, don't send up Reuben. Somebody might have said, we should send up Levi, because Levi is the head of the priests, and everybody knows the preacher should always be in the front. And God said, no, don't send Levi. You see, we already decided some things about our religion, that the longer we've been in this or the greater our ministry in this, that we should always be in the fall. I'm going to give myself a trouble right here. I can feel it coming on. God said, don't send up Reuben just because he's the oldest. God said, don't send up Levi just because he's the preacher. God said, I want you to send up Judah, because Judah is praise. And in a battle, you always need a sense of praise up first. He's saying, no matter what you're going through, don't forget to praise God of glory. How many times have we gone through trouble and trial, and 6 months later, we're still in the trial, and we can't figure out why? But if we'd stop and look at our situation, we would realize the trial has got us so far down, we forgot to praise Him. Hallelujah. Woo! Why, Brother Snoggy? Why is it so important to praise God in a trial? Because likened unto prayer, praise is a powerful tool of the church. Praise brings the presence of God down. God comes to inhabit our praise. He dwells where praise is happening. And we all know that when we are in a battle, that is when we need God most. So make it a battle of praise. Let me tell you something else right here. We may have the devil figured wrong. Some people believe, really, that the devil is all-knowing. He is not. He is not the... God is the only omniscient one. The devil can only respond to you. He does not know everything. The devil did not know that you were full of lust until he saw your eyes drifting over to that magazine rack. But he saw that, and now he knows. He did not know that you were jealous until he saw the tips of your ears turn red when so-and-so was getting recognized and getting credit and you were not. The devil did not know that, but he saw that. And now he knows. The devil is slick and sly and crafty, but he only responds to our actions. So when he's over in the corner watching us, and he has poured out a battle on us, and he has heaped the coals of hell on us, and the battle is hot and the battle is heavy, and the devil looks at one of his imps, and he says, "Oh, watch this now. This is the good part. This is where they start falling apart. This is where they start doubting God. This is where they start slacking in their prayer life. This is where they start slacking off in their church attendance. This is where their offering starts going down." Oh, somebody help me preach this a minute right here. Come on right here, church. The devil knows he's got you in the heat of the battle, and he's watching because he knows what happens now. He knows people fall apart. And at that moment, all of a sudden, he sees you singing praise the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And praise the Lord whose mercy endureth forever. And the devil sits back and says, wait. I don't understand what's going on here. He gets confused. Just like they got confused in their battle. And they begin to stick and kill one another. This is not the way this is supposed to happen. They knew when they went to battle, they should have found men with swords drawn, not with hearts praying. They should have found men scared and praying, not rejoicing and praising. And if the devil's got you beat down tonight, friend, and you know you're in a battle, but he sees you running up and down the aisles of a holiness meeting, it just may confuse him enough that you can walk out of here with victory. Why do you think, Brother Larry Wayne? Why do you think somebody that Judah asked Simeon to go fight with him? Did you ever read that? See, Judah, he won all his battles. But first he asked Simeon, his brother, he said, "You come fight with me, and we'll win all my battles. And then I'm going to go fight with you, and we'll win all your battles." Let me show you something. Hallelujah. Judah's name means praise, a high praise. Simeon's name means the Lord hath heard. Ask somebody, ask yourself, what good is your praise if the Lord hadn't heard it yet? I wish somebody praise the Lord just a minute right here. I said, what good is your praise if the Lord hadn't heard it yet? How many of us are reserving our praise until we get the victory the way we want it? How many are reserving our praise until God answers the way we think he should answer? I'll tell you, he said, "I know my name is high praise, and I've got it in me. I know I do. But you're going to have to come with me if we have all these battles are going to be won. Because it does no good to be filled with praise unless I'm going to let God in heaven with his mighty ear that has reached out toward humanity be filled with the sweet savor of my praise." Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. King David's life was full of trouble. He had battles all of his life. He had enemies on every hand. He could look, and on the north there was enemies. On the south he had enemies. On the east there was enemies, and on the west he was continually surrounded by enemies.
enemies. David's life was always surrounded by enemies. So David had to make a decision. And he realized, I can't look to the north because that'll depress me. I can't look to the south because that'll just make me angry. If I look to the east, I'll get in trouble. If I look to the west, I really don't know what I'll do. David said, I conclude, I will look up under the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. It's the same for Israel today. It's the same for the church today. It's the same for you and I, Christians, brothers and sisters today. We're surrounded by the enemy. We have no choice but to look up.
What about your ministry, Brother Sloggett? It seems like you're attacked every time I turn around. Well, you ain't lying. But my help comes from above. When my family is struggling, I must remember God. When my wife is battling, I must remember God. When I'm under personal attacks, I must remember God. Oh, somebody, listen to the preacher preach just a little while. It confuses the old devil when he's been lying on you and starts running you down, and the only thing he gets out of you is shouting and more speaking in a heavenly language and more rolling on the floor in the glory of God and picking another song out of the songbook. And being the first one to stand and testify during testimonies. He knows he's got you in a battle. And he can't understand why you keep doing what you're doing. But it could just maybe be that there's a saint of God in this house that finally got it in their heart. Yes, I'm in the battle, devil. And you're always reminding me I'm in the battle, devil. And you convince me I'm in the battle, devil. But you withheld the rest of the information, devil. I'm in the battle, but it's not my
fight.
Yeah, glory. Hallelujah. When he's got you back in the corner and all he gets out of you is a little leap and a little praise, you've confused him.
Yes. You wouldn't want to do that.
What about E.B. Hill?
Right.
Brother, I know you know what I'm talking about. His wife died in the prime of one of the most beautiful ministries in America. His life was jerked out from under his breath. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, a woman that he never called anything but baby. This great, great preacher, this mighty man of God, built churches and ministries and mission fields just by his anointing that God had given him. And he'd love nothing more and nothing less than his master and his wife. And she was jerked from him. And the family begged him. Him being one of the mightiest preachers alive at the time, begged him if there's any way he could preach his own wife's funeral. He took the pulpit that morning, and many in the family had told different visitors and different friends, don't expect too much. He's grieving. We know he's a great preacher. We know he's a mighty man of God, but don't expect too much. He's heartbroken. He's grief-stricken. Just let him get through this however he can. And E.B. Hill took the pulpit and preached one of the most beautiful sermons I have ever heard in my life. I have played it over and over and over and over. Because he took the pulpit that morning and he preached, the Lord hath given. And the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
In the battle.
Yes.
He gave praise.
Amen.
Yes. Brother Todd, it doesn't work like that. You're starting to sound charismatic. You listen to me right here. I got this on record. Some of our churches could stand a little bit of charisma. I didn't say build a doctrine out of it, but we need to quit killing everything that comes along that has the slightest bit of joy in it and calling it charismatic. When I look at a battle that the children of God are about to be killed and massacred and destroyed in, and the only thing they have to do is say, let's send up praise first. Let's go in worshiping. Let's go in magnifying God for
and the God of all eternity saw that praise, came to that praise, inhabited that worship, and God took over the fight, and they came out on top because they were in the battle, but it wasn't their fight.
I can just imagine if some of us would have been around back in the day when Paul and Silas got arrested. Some of us that you've heard of somebody seeing a devil behind every tree. I know people see a charismatic behind every tree.
Come on,
oh, don't smile in church. Somebody gonna think you're charismatic. I'm happy to be saved.
Yes.
Yes. Glory. I'm happy to not be a drug addict anymore. I'm happy to happily be married.
Yeah.
And love my wife. And know my wife loves me. I'm happy that I got four children that are all saved. Don't tell me not to smile. I got every reason in the world to smile, to laugh, to run, to leap, to say praise God, glory, hallelujah. Run up and down the aisle, roll in the floor. I got every right. I'm going to heaven. I imagine if some of us got arrested the same day that Paul and Silas got arrested. Of course, I don't know if we would do anything Christian enough to get arrested, but let's just say we did. Hey, man, it's a good thing I'm leaving right after church. Praise God. And we're in the jailhouse with them. And it's dark and it's damp. We all done got beat. We didn't get no food, no water. About the time old brother Paul, brother Silas, starts singing. Did what? I said, start singing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anybody remember what they were singing again? Oh yeah, Bob said they were singing praises.
Yes.
Praises. In the midst of that battle, a battle, you don't understand, it wasn't their fight. See, when we see it as our fight, we don't have anything to praise about.
That's right.
Because we're probably going to lose.
Yeah, we're overwhelmed. That's right.
But when we realize it's His fight, if we know who He really is, all of a sudden, I ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Brother Silas looking over at Brother Paul and saying, man, it's terrible. Been locked up in the inner prison, shackled up and beaten, and the government is hating us and wanting to kill us, and they're trying to find a way to make sure we never get out of this complicated political, physical, spiritual mess that we're in, and I just have no idea what we're going to do, and I'm probably going to cry, and maybe eventually I'm going to die, and Paul, I don't know what to do, and Paul looked over at him and says, you know any good hymns? What would happen? I mean, let me just ask you. What would happen if Brother Larry Wayne called me and I'm in Oklahoma and he said I lost my house and my wife left me and I ain't got no money and everything's falling apart and you need to help me, Brother Sloggy. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, Brother, have you sinned? No, sir. I searched my heart. Brother, have you made sure? Are you repenting? Yes, sir. I repent over everything. I have to repent of God. Forgive. Do you still have the victory? Brother, I prayed last night, and I don't know why, in the middle of this horrible battle, but God helped me, and I spoke in tongues, and he come down in my room right here where I'm staying at a friend's house and all that. And I said, I'll be right there. And I'd get in my car, and I'd drive halfway across the country, and all the churches gathered around, all the Fretwells come, and all the Beams of Light has come, and all the different Holiness churches, Pentecostals, everybody's come to be with this grieving brother in this horrible, horrible situation, and everybody's just around, and they're just crying, and they're brokenhearted, and they don't know what to do, and it's so sad. And what if I just come in and say, Brother Larry, what's that song you always sing? That real fast one, that good one, that one that makes me so happy. Sing that. What would y'all do? Y'all know what you do. get saved, Brother Slough, it has finally snapped. We knew he was riding the edge, but he done fell off. Did y'all read the Bible I read? Whatever you do from here on out, praise God first.
Yes.
Whatever you do from here on out, thank God first.
Yes, glory.
Oh, being persecuted. And you know what the children of Israel could have said? They could have said, this is because we're God's children. This is because we're separate from the world. This is happening to us. Do you know that happens in holiness all the time? People feel persecution in their life and persecution on the job and persecution in their family. And then they come back and they cry to God, God, if we didn't have to dress like this, God, we didn't have to look like this, God, we didn't go to church 5 times a week, God, if we didn't preach tithing so hard and adultery so hard, God, if we didn't have... Are you kidding me? They did not complain about being holiness. They praised about being holiness. The Bible said in the midst of the battle, Judah went up and sung a song. And these are the words of the song. He said, praise God in the beauty of His holiness. Yeah. Woo! Glory! If I'm being persecuted for being separate unto the Lord, thank God.
Yes.
I will reap the benefits of being a child of heaven.
Yes.
Even if I never reap them until I get to heaven,
right,
it'll be worth it.
Amen.
Now, I closed the book, but I just thought of something. I never put it in my notes there this afternoon. But you remember when Jehoshaphat began to pray his prayer, and he said, God, you wouldn't let us kill them. Remember that? These are the people that have come against us, and you stopped us from defeating them when we could have. You let us kill all the other ones, and you said, no, don't kill those. And now it's come back to haunt us. God, this is your doing. Guess what? It was.
Yeah.
It was God's doing.
All planned.
God left some people that He could put them in the perfect place. That the only way out was to praise Him.
Yes.
You're crazy, Brother Slugger. How do you think of things like this? I read in the Bible one time when there was a blind boy. And Jesus healed his eyes and they brought him. They said, Jesus, he's blind. They said, who sinned? His mother or his father or he? He said, nobody did. I did this on purpose so that I could get the praise for it.
Yeah.
Glory. He said, I left some. Well, I created everything. I could have created it all perfect if I wanted to, but I left some imperfection in the world so I can come along and show you that I deserve the praise for making it perfect in the beginning, and I deserve the praise for fixing it later if I didn't make it perfect in the beginning. God left these people alive when Joshua came through destroying the lands, because there would be a day that the Israelites would begin to wander off and do their own thing. And God said, I'm leaving a place so I can get praise, so I can get glory, so I can get credit. I'm telling you, friend, if you're wandering off in your spiritual life, if you're wandering off in your sanctified life, if you're wandering off in your prayer life, be careful. You may end up in a battle. And when you get in that battle, you may blame it on God. And God ain't going to flinch for 1 second. He will agree with you. Yes, I did this. Yes, I put that there. Because I needed to make sure you'd praise me.
Yes.
Stand all over this house.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Don't tell somebody something tonight. Yes. You're in a battle.
Yes.
But it ain't your fight.
That's right.
Brother Philip, Sister Deidre, if everything y'all are going through around here, you had to figure out a way how to fix it, you might as well just pack it up, son, and go back to Virginia and forget it. I'm not saying you're not in the battle. I'm just saying it's not your fight. But Tommy, Sister Christine, live and argue and say you're not in the battle. I agree, you're in a battle. But you have to see it's not your fight.
Amen.
Sister Heather, everything you're going through, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all these battles, they are battles. And you and I, we try to get a hold of it and fix it and put things where they belong. And we got to stop for a minute and realize the devil has got us fooled, Brother LaRon, into thinking we're either in a battle and we have to fight it, or we're not in a battle and we don't have to fight. He left out the option of the fact that maybe we're in a battle, but we don't have to fight. Glory. Did Daniel close the lion's mouth? Did the three Hebrew boys put out the fire? Did Jonah tickle the inside of the ribs of the fish? They were all in a battle. But it wasn't their fight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is any God praying? Jesus. Master, Savior, God in heaven. Somebody in the sound of my voice has felt the flames, has heard the arrows as they whisk by their ears, is driven crazy and kept up at night by the sound of the clanging of the spears and the clashing of the swords. The screams and the cries and of the battle of some attacking and some dying and some being wounded. It's confused. Some dear saint somewhere. The devil's lied to them, tricked them, trapped them into believing there's no way out of this battle but to fight. And every time they try to fight, they just seem like the mess gets worse. But God, I believe with all my heart you sent me here tonight to reveal to some saint of God that yes, you're in the battle. But no, sir, and no, ma'am, this is not your fight. Make it a battle of praise. Worship God down upon your situation, and He will win the victory. Amen. Amen. Amen.